We appreciate so much the presence of all of you that are here this morning to sing that grand old hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. And that's where we're all journeying, isn't it? Our journey to eternity will lead us through trials. We know, because we know in our life, that we have three formidable foes in life. Did you know that the world is our external foe? And that in reality, the flesh is our internal foe. And that the devil is our infernal foe in life. And it is so true, isn't it? We want to welcome all of you today. Those of you that may be visiting with us, we hope that you'll return and that you'll come back. You'll hear only the Word of God here. And that's what we're about, is preserving the pristine beauty of God's eternal Word and sharing with you those timely truths that God has revealed for us concerning our salvation, our moments of worship time, and then our journey through this life that we hopefully will end in eternity with God. How many of you remember the fidget spinner? Anybody remember this little gadget here? Anybody know what it did? Didn't do anything. It didn't do anything. That's just it. And you know, sometimes I think our life is much like this fidget spinner. Doesn't get us anywhere. But sometimes we feel that life is spinning out of control. And we like to push the emergency stop button, because you and I are so overwhelmed every day, and life seems to be spinning out of control for every one of us. And what should we do? I'll tell you what Isaiah did, or Hezekiah did, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 37, verse 14. The Bible says that the king went to before God, and he spread it before the Lord. You know, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? You know, when we're going through a lot of trials in life and issues and problems and crises and those kinds of things where we feel like that life is really spinning out of control, then we have to take it before God, spread it before Him, and allow Him to determine what we must do. You know, man has long had that urge and that quest for the meaning of life. And man has a tremendous search. But isn't it interesting that in the Bible, God tells us that we can end our search, that it is in Him and in His Word. For in the book of John 5 and 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." And when this happens, what should you do? When life is spinning out of control, it may be this morning that even in this audience, or you may be listening by the internet, YouTube, you may be watching by television, and you may be asking yourself the question, what should I do? How do I deal with the complexities of life? Well, you do exactly what Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 7 says. I want to read just a part of this, but in Isaiah 43, verse 1, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel." And He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you." He says, "I've called you by your name, and you are Mine." And He says, "When you pass through the water, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers," He says, "they shall not overflow. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For everyone who is called by My name, whom I have created for My glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." And because God has made us, there are things that we can do that will help us. You know, isn't it a terrible thing when you're going through a crisis in your life and you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, I tell you, we can always turn unto our God. And there are three ways that we overcome when life is spinning out of control. And I want you to think about these this morning, because that's what our life is really all about, isn't it? That's why we long for heaven and go to that place where we'll all be with God if we live faithful. Because life is not what we want it to be down here below. We have so many issues that are going on in our world because of that external foe. We have people that rape. We have people that murder. We have people that do drugs. We have people that fall out of love with one another. And we ask ourselves the question, what can I do? There are three promises that will strengthen your attitude. Number one, you belong to the King. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I belong to the King. I not only belong to the King, but I belong to the King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If I were to ask you who this is, what would you say? Anybody? The royal family? No, that's not the royal family. It isn't. But the royal family is the living church of Almighty God. Because it belongs to God. It is royal. We used to sing an old song about the royal banner is displayed for the children of the cross. But the church of the living God is the royal family. It is the family of God in heaven and on earth. You know, I've never understood why people would not want to be members of the royal family, that is, the family of God. You know, people make all kinds of excuses for their unwillingness to serve God. Give excuses. And there are probably people this morning that could give you a good excuse as to why they're not here. And there is a difference between excuses and a difference between excuse and reason. There are reasons sometimes that people cannot come to worship. But a lot of times it's excuses. Someone said excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. And when people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer, why, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or just stay home and kind of relax and hope some of the kin will be dropping in. Well, the church benches are too hard and the choir sings way too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. And the doctor told you, now you better watch those crowds. They'll set you back. But you go to that old ball game because you say it helps you to relax. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, you're already feeling all right. While one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Well, the whole family had to stay at home to blow that kid's nose. You know, we've got a lot of excuses, don't we? We do. You're here this morning because you forsook the excuses. You're here this morning because you love God and you're interested in things that are spiritual and you are agreed that you are not going to let life continue to spin you out of control. The royal family. That's us. Because we belong to the King. I am a child of the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. You know what it means to really be a child of the King? Do you suffer want when you're a child of the king? No. David said, I've been young, been old, never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging bread. No, because you're a child of the king. You are. And we worship the Lord in splendor and in holiness. And that's why. Psalms 96 and verse 9. Because we're children of the king. Listen to Isaiah 43:1 again. But now thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Do you know one of the biggest problems that we face in life is fear, phobia? There are all kinds of phobias that people have. I remember several years ago, Barbara Walters interviewed Larry King and one of his last performances on television, Larry King Live. And Barbara said, Larry, what is the one thing in life of which you fear more than anything else? And Larry King said, the thing I fear more than anything else is death itself. And there was a space of quietness. And then Barbara had the nerve to ask him, Larry, are you a Christian? And do you believe in God? It was a long pause. And she had to pick it up because Larry would not say. You know, we have a lot of people in the world today whose life is spinning out of control because they're not Christians. But you know what? I've come to believe that if I am a child of the King and I am a child of the Most High God, then my life is not going to spin out of control. God may put me in the ringer and He may spin me a little bit, but I know it's for my own good. I know He's watching out for me, for Romans 8 and 28 says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to His purpose. God says, don't you be afraid, for I have redeemed you and I have called you by your name. You are mine. Isn't it wonderful that Isaiah said, God didn't say, I called you by your number, but He called us by our name. He put it in my mother and my father's mind to call me Dan Manuel. I didn't have anything to do with my name. I didn't have anything to do at all with what my name was going to be and what I was going to wear the rest of my life. God named us. And He knows us. And just as His eye is on the sparrow, His eye is on you as well. And a child of the King, that's what we are, shouldn't live like a slave of the world. But we allow ourselves to do so because we end up serving the external foe, that is the world. And that's why John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. 1 John 5 and verse 12. So what I'm saying is, if you are a child of the King, you go out and live like one. Several years ago, we had a preacher in my hometown, Hallsville, when I was growing up. And I asked his little boy one day, he was walking downtown, I was walking with him, and I asked him, I said, his name is Danny. And I said, Danny, you look like you own the world this morning. And he said, no, sir, but my father does. You know, our Father, the King, owns the world. Don't live like a slave. And when I am least of all among them, I am great in God's sight. I like John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. King of kings, Lord of lords. That's what Revelation 17, verse 34 says. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19 and following, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Our body, not only does our soul, but our body belongs unto God. It is the temple of God. That's why you treat it with care. That's why you don't abuse your body by putting into your body those things that diminish how the body ought to function. I've told you before that many of the problems that we face in life are self-induced. We bring them on our own selves. But then we turn around and then blame God. But Paul says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? You know what happens in the temple? God lives in the temple. Your body is the temple of God, and you need to let God in the temple. Maybe he's on the outside. Maybe you shoved him out. You need to open the door again. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. Now listen to this. Which are God's? God owns the body as well as he does the soul or the spirit. You remember Christ said one time, fear not him that can destroy the body, but rather fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's God. And we respect him. And we hold him in reverential awe. And God's commitment to you is not dependent. I want you to get this. It's not dependent on the strength of your commitment to him. You see, God's going to be faithful to you whether you are faithful to him or not. If God makes a promise, that is a commitment. And God will hold his commitment true. And he will fulfill his commitment whether you fulfill yours or not. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse 13, Paul writes, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, the Hebrew writer says one of the impossible things for God is that God cannot lie. He doesn't. If God tells you something, you can know assuredly that it is true. But secondly, how can I keep life from spinning out of control? Realize that the Lord walks with us. Not only are you a child of the King, but the Lord walks with us. But too often people walk in ignorance. They close their eyes. And they are ignorant of the great truths of God, that he wants to walk with you. You know, the Bible says of Abraham that he walked with God. Enoch, the same thing. Jesus is with us always. Matthew 28, he says, and lo, I am, not I was, or not I will be. But he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said when they were asked, what are we to say, who you are? And he said, I am. Just those two words, I am. Not I will be or not I have been in the past, but I am now. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And the reason I mentioned this one this morning is the fact that, you know, I could have, I guess, come up with various thoughts about this, but I see people that are so fearful every day of a lot of things. We fear war. We fear want. We fear drive-by shootings. We fear people breaking in. We fear people stealing. And God says, this is one phobia you don't have to worry about. Fear not. Fear not. For when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the river, they shall not overflow you. That's kind of what God is saying about our problems. Our problems are not going to overwhelm us. They won't even be a flash flood of problems. Because God is going to provide. He is going to bless us. And he says, when you walk with the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God is going to provide. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They thought they were going to actually cremate them. Life would be over for them. But God says no. God said no because they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bend. And if they didn't bow and they didn't bend, they didn't burn. And so when they looked in and they saw them and they saw another feature that appeared to be the Son of God, they turned the heat up as high as it would go. But the flame, as he says here in Isaiah 43, shall not burn you up, nor will it even scorch you, because God is in control. And so when you feel like your life is spinning out of control, turn to God. For Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation or your manner of life, the way you live your life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not only am I a child of the King, but I walk with God and he walks with me. Don't we sing that old song? Do we really believe it? And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. I'm not afraid of tomorrow because I know, and we all should know, that God is already there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we're wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, and God already knows. He's already there. He is there. Fear not, I'm with you. Courage doesn't come from the absence of fear, but from the abundance of our faith. That's where courage comes from. Listen to what he says. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. That's why God made you. But not for your glory, not that we would glorify you, but that we would glorify him. Go back to what Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount. When he said, so let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and do what? Glorify you because your good works? No. They would see your good works and then they will glorify God who is in heaven. I have formed him, God says. Yes, I have made him. But then thirdly, last of all, when life is spinning out of control, remember, you know, when you're out of control, you have no control over anything, nothing. Life is just spinning. It's like that fidget making noise. You see what it's doing. Doesn't get you anywhere. And that's the way a lot of our lives are. But nothing can keep you from your potential. You know, we all have a potential. In other words, God sees in us what we can become, not so much what we are, just like Zacchaeus. You remember when Christ was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he looked up in this tree and he saw a young man up there, and God even knew his name. I don't know that he ever met him until this very moment, but he said, Zacchaeus. He called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree, for I must needs go to your house today. And he says something else. He says, salvation has come to your house. Did Zacchaeus know that was going to happen? No, he didn't know it. Did Jesus know it? Yes, he knew it. What caused him to look up and see Zacchaeus? God. You know what? God is watching every one of us. And the Bible in John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become the child of God. I like Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. Sometimes this particular passage is maligned, and it's taken out of context. He says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You see, God had orchestrated it already. His blueprint already called for how we were going to live our lives and how we are going to walk. And 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, because you were created for His glory. He made you a child of the King. And we walk with God, and He walks with us. He leads us, and He gives us a potential. Sometimes people view their potential unrealistically. How do you see yourself this morning? What's your true potential? Sometimes people lose their potential because they say no. When God says that we are to do certain things to honor Him and to bring glory unto Him, our answer is no. Because we are controlled by someone else other than God. People say, I don't have time. I'm too tired. It's too hard. I can't afford it. It's not working. It's boring. I'm too large. I hate sweating. It's too hot. It's too cold. What's the point? I don't know what to do. Well, let go, as I mentioned a moment ago, of excuses, and let God live His life in your temple. Unlock your potential. Start thinking outside of the box. God's put it before you. He has. And it is up to us to show that we're willing to take whatever step He leads, we will follow. We sing that old hymn, don't we? Where He leads me, I will follow. I will follow. Sometimes God calls upon us to follow places that we're not real sure that we want to go. Several years ago, William Gladstone, in announcing the death of Princess Alice of England, and the House of Commons, told a very touching story. It actually is a story of a little daughter, their little daughter, the daughter of the princess, and how she became seriously ill with diphtheria. Now, if you don't know much about diphtheria, you won't understand this, so I'm going to explain it. It would be much like COVID-19. All of us remember that. And how they tried to protect us. And, I mean, you could contact it through body fluids or just being in the room with someone. And the air that they breathe. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and endanger her life by breathing the child's breath. But once the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little child into her arms to keep her from choking to death. And rasping and struggling for her own life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me. Kiss me, Mama." And without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter on the cheek to calm her spirit. Yes, she too got diphtheria, and some days after that went to be with the Lord forever. But she forgot herself. She forgot herself. You know, sometimes we have to forget ourselves. Maybe your life is spinning out of control this morning. And the only answer to overcoming that and to resolve it is to turn to God. You see, you can't live your potential without God. Oh, get rid of the excuses. Moses had them. Matter of fact, he had 5 different excuses in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. He made excuses, but God did not accept them. And he said, "Now go, for I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what you are to say." And you know what? Moses wasn't a young man. Moses was 80 years old and may have well thought of the excuse that I am too old for this. Our age is not a problem, not for God. And he is not going to buy one of your flimsy excuses. God says for us to be the best version of you that you can possibly be. And you have the ability to glorify God. Remember these 3 promises. You belong to the King. You belong to him. He owns you. The Lord walks with us. And nothing can keep you from your potential. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. So from this moment on, right here, this morning, June the 7th, 11:30, start writing a new chapter in your life. How do I start the new chapter? Well, you start by asking yourself the question, how do I become a Christian? Where do I begin? Where do I start? And we have to follow God's plan, not our own. And understand that God has given us the opportunity to follow him. And life doesn't have to be meaningless anymore. But to be almost saved is to be totally lost. But God tells us how we move towards salvation. through hearing the word of God, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, Romans 10 and verse 17, and by believing, for without faith it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and to repent of our sins, and that means change our life, die to self, Acts 17, and to confess our faith in Christ, Romans 10. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then by being baptized, Romans 6, verse 3 through 6. Baptism is not an ordinance of this church. It is a commandment of God. Every one of these are commandments of the Most High God. I ask you this morning, if your life is spinning out of control, there's some things that are going on in your life and you want this church to pray for, that God would help you and deal with whatever it is you're going through, make it known to us. We're happy to bow in prayer on your behalf and let the God of heaven go to work for us and live the Christian life, faithfully serving our God. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For a Christ-directed life is one full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Life is Christ-centered. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We trust God. We obey Him. We serve Him. What a heartbreak it would be to live an almost Christian life, then almost get into heaven. Almost. But too many people continue their life spinning out of control, almost lost. While we stand and while we sing.